The following is an at-will presentation.
My secret is that I bought a really expensive handbag and I'm not telling my husband.
I'm Ben Hamm.
And I'm Dahlia Beta.
We're your hosts as we navigate the deep waters of humanity.
And listen to the stories no one ever tells.
You are entering the secret room.
I have schizophrenia, and I've been hearing hallucinations for 2 years.
That's Zoe, our secret room guest today. She's a really smart 21-year-old woman who's studying to be a pediatric neurosurgeon at a Washington, D.C. university. She's carrying a 4.0 average, and she speaks 3 languages. When she first submitted her secret, I called her to talk to her about it. I asked her to explain, as best she could, what it was like to hear voices. She told me there was a time she thought they were real, but she knows now that they aren't.
I just really like them. Even though I've mostly talked about the bad times, there were a lot of good times. And I guess that is characteristic of schizophrenia. There's delusions of grandeur and then paranoia.
The National Institute of Mental Health defines schizophrenia as a chronic and severe mental disorder that affects how a person thinks, feels, and behaves. Zoe came to the secret room to share her story because she wanted to foster understanding of the condition, at least as she experiences it.
Hey, Zoe.
Ben?
Yeah, hey. Nice to meet you in person. Yeah.
We met in a trendy neighborhood in Washington, D.C., and then walked to the university where she studies to conduct the interview you're about to hear.
So nice to meet you.
Yeah, which way are we going?
We went to a study room, which, today only, became the secret room.
We're almost there.
What, it's in here? It's in here?
Yeah. Okay. I rented it for an hour, so.
Okay, great.
The first time Zoe heard voices, it came from one of a collection of paintings she had done herself of astrology symbols.
The Gemini poster spoke to me, and I told it that I could not speak to it because they would call me crazy.
And by they, she means her friends and other people around her. But she didn't know it was a hallucination. But she also didn't think it was actually the painting talking.
I thought it was my neighbors pranking me. It turns out that they were not.
Zoe told me there was a main voice that she hears. I asked her if it was a representation of a real person in her life.
Yes, it was a guy named Sean, and we actually had sex. It was a one-night stand. I went to the laundry room just to sit, and I saw him there. So we started talking about the books that we were reading. Then he said he was having a party in his room. And so I got ready and then I went to the party. It ended up being 2 doors away from where I lived. I knocked on the door, they didn't hear me. So I kind of banged on the door. And then they shouted out something like, "We're not here to help you get over the white man." It was really awkward. Nobody was really talking to me, but there wasn't a lot of people there. And then Sean said that he was going to go to a club. I was 19 at the time, so I couldn't go. I went back to my room, and after a while, he knocked on my door. And then, yeah, we had sex, and then he stayed over for the night, and then he left in the morning. Yeah, he took my virginity. I was ready to let it go, so.
Those people who shouted to her through the door when she knocked, that was a hallucination. And Zoe has a very definite narrative about how the voices continue to develop.
Guy asked me, "Oh, is anything happening in your love life?" And I thought about Sean, so I was telling him about Sean. For some reason, I felt like he was going to take me to court for raping him because he wasn't that engaged and he probably didn't really want it, and I forced myself upon him. I just mentioned that I felt like we raped each other.
And it wasn't long before the voices set in.
Over time, they just kind of grew louder and more hysterical.
Why were they angry at you?
They were angry at me because I had implied that one of the voices had raped me. So they were angry because they felt as though I tarnished that man's name when I didn't mean to. He came through the vents really angry, saying, "Why would you say that? You know, I have a reputation in D.C. that I have to uphold."
What's your relationship with the hallucination of Sean?
He's just a friend. It's weird because he's said some really hurtful things in the past. He said things that are pretty much unacceptable. He's also encouraged me and pushed me to do things that I don't know, maybe I would not have done otherwise. He was really encouraging of my studies. He made me be more serious about learning German and Spanish. So now people who speak German and Spanish, some of them say that I'm fluent and I can hold a conversation with them. And also he even helps me get up in the morning to jog. 5 a.m. is not always fun, but he'll say something and that just somehow would encourage me to just get up and jog. So he's called me an ape, he's called me Pithecus, he's called me everything except the N-word. Although he was really, really harsh and almost always with negative racial undertones, he would still insinuate as though he saw me as attractive, because in reality, we did have sex.
Are you aware that when you're speaking with Sean, that it's not a real conversation with an actual person?
Now I know that it's a conversation with myself. Even though I don't hear him very often because I've taken medicine to kind of turn down the volume and the frequency, if this is me talking to myself and making up these hallucinations, then why am I telling myself these things? So if I feel bad, he'll say something like, I hate you.
So if that's a reflection of how you feel about yourself at the moment, I should ask, do you hate yourself?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody loves themselves every moment of every day, but I don't hate myself at all.
You have regular voices that you hear, particularly Sean. But do you ever hear a new voice that just catches you off guard?
Yeah, like old high school crushes, even middle school crushes, family friends, family.
So they're always based on someone you know, never a random person.
Yeah, never that.
We all experience times in our lives when we're unsure of our surroundings. Have you ever woken up and thought you were running late, but you weren't? Have you ever made a left turn when you should have made a right? Have you ever left your keys somewhere, but they showed up in an unexpected place? I have, and I wish I had a way to solve these problems. If you knew some of the voices in your life weren't real, wouldn't you want a way to discern them from reality? It turns out that Zoe has a way.
So I can tell when I'm talking to a hallucination, I can tell when they're not real by using logical loopholes. The best example would be the voices themselves. I was hearing Sean talk to me for hours on end through my vent, which would imply that he was taking out hours out of his day to talk to me, torment me, just to teach me a lesson and just to coax me to stop smoking weed. And so that is pretty improbable because nobody has that kind of time to spend on me, especially if I don't even know him. Like, we're not friends. I don't have a relationship with him. It's just improbable. So basically, whenever I use logical loopholes, if I think about the situation and one part of the situation seems highly improbable, then it means it's probably not true.
So this seems like it was an internal conversation with yourself to stop smoking weed.
I kind of don't think it's fair for me to say that I want to be a pediatric neurosurgeon and smoke weed. Like, I just don't think that's fair to my patients at all.
Well, there's a song called Paranoid.
Yeah, it's by Kanye.
Yeah, let me get that up on my phone. That's it.
Yeah. Can I sing it?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. The first line he says, why are you so paranoid? So the voice goes, anyway, they don't know you like I do. They'll never know you when. I would always think of people like Einstein and Michelangelo. So Michelangelo he allegedly had autism. And yet he built this beautiful cathedral. And there are many people with autism who have really superior artistic talent. And then Einstein, you know, he's come up with a lot of important theories in terms of relativity and quantum mechanics. And he was diagnosed with depression.
So Zoe sees a lot of positives with her condition. And why shouldn't she? She's harnessed it to excel in academics, language, and to just get out and jog. She has idols who suffered from mental illness, and they serve as inspiration. Would you tell her not to make it a positive? So I wondered later, as I was editing this interview, if Zoe would give the schizophrenia back if she could. Even though it's brought good things to her life, she still does keep it a secret, and it hasn't all been a bed of roses. I asked her how many people know her secret outside her family and the people who provide medical care.
In terms of daily life, people too. Yeah.
Zoe's story is very, very personal. If she told her secret to her professors, her friends, people on the bus, wherever, they would immediately form opinions about her, opinions that would not necessarily be fair or correct. She has a mental illness, yes, but damn, does she excel in spite of it, or Zoe might say, because of it.
So last semester I studied in London. I studied chemistry, quantum mechanics and spectroscopy, Roman life and thought.
Zoe told me her reason for sharing her secret today was to engender understanding of mental illness.
Statistics and computer.
For me, her story had a second purpose too. It reminded me that we're all complex beings, composites of experiences and conditions. But it's the sum that's important.
I'm recording, but you have to hold one sec. I have my buzz lights on. Let me turn them off.
What the heck's a buzz light?
Okay, the lights in the kitchen. Put a buzz on my tape.
So gotta love our studios.
I know, seriously. Okay, I'm recording.
Well, that was quite a show. I'm very impressed with Zoe.
Doesn't she have a myriad of skills, Dahlia?
Yeah, I just wish I could like wake up and decide, oh, I want to learn German. Actually, I am. I'm trying to learn Italian right now.
Okay.
And it's hard.
I'd like to roll out of bed and just sing like that.
Seriously.
I know.
And subscribe. I got
Good
that.
Job. You didn't sing last time. I missed it.
You can't give them everything every time, Ben.
That's true. Well, we don't want to be predictable.
So I heard you had a fun time this weekend.
I did. I went to a rooftop party in Washington, D.C.
What?
Yeah, it was really fun. Of course, I was canvassing for secrets, and two people gave me awesome off-the-record secrets.
What?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
They told me wonderful secrets, but they said I can't use them. They're thinking about it.
Oh.
I know. And they're so great. I'm going to take up valuable airtime right now to send out a personal appeal directly from the secret room to these two people. You know who you are. Come forward. Come to the secret room and share. They're so great. They deserve to be heard.
And remember, you can have an anonymous name.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have to know where you're from. You mix it up.
Yeah.
You can be anything, anyone, anywhere, or we don't even have to talk about it. It's completely anonymous.
Yeah. So come to the secret room for reals.
Oh, Ben, I did want to mention that we were featured on another podcast recently. It's called Stop, Click, and Listen. And Kevin, the host, asked us some interesting questions about our show and our origin story. And if you're a listener, you might be interested to check it out. So what's on the agenda for next week's show?
Next week, a woman is coming to share a very personal story. She secretly despises her sister, and she's going to tell us why. It's very moving.
I mean, my sisters drive me crazy sometimes. It's pretty true.
Well, you told a little secret about your sister in the very first episode, and it was...
That's true.
It was a sweet story. I don't have any brothers or sisters, so I don't know the first thing about it. So this is going to be a learning exercise for me.
Well, that explains why you're so weird.
What? Okay, if that's the reason, I'll take it. No problem.
I just want to have a relationship with her. But it's hard for me because I know what she did.
Yay! another epic epi of The Secret Room is in the can.
Yep, and there'll be another one like clockwork next Monday or whenever you download. Or if you're binging in the future, there's already one there for you. Dahlia?
Yes, Ben?
If people want to hear Zoe sing a little bit more, they should stay tuned after the credits for a special performance.
Okay, cool. Did you get it?
Yes.
By the way, we love hearing your secrets, and we love sharing them on the air. One way to share is to leave a voicemail at 929-265-TSRP, and you can also share at our website, thesecretroompodcast.com.
Thanks to BMC, that's The Breakmaster Cylinder, for our theme and music, and to the Street Secret team for the awesome bite-sized secrets that start each show.
I'm at Dahlia Beta on Twitter.
And I'm Ben Ham, and on Twitter, that's at Hampod with two M's.
Until next time, pod on.
Yeah, pod on, people.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties, above the fruited plains, whoa, America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Wow.